Podcast. My name is James Strong, joined once again by my co-host Cody Tanner on this NFL draft weekend. Cody, how are you today?
James, I'm fantastic. It's not Tuesday, but what's up, brother? We're going to talk some. Listen, it was fun seeing Sketch go up there and announce a pick. It was really exciting.
Crowd knew him, man.
They did. We are going to talk Steelers draft and everything else, but we're excited for all that. And draft didn't play out quite like we thought it would. We got a couple hits on some of our mocks, but some of them also fell very, very flat. And we'll talk about that. But James, how are you today?
Man, I'm doing all right. Special teams, special plays, and special players. And the special people, shout out to my late wife, Nikki. It would have been her birthday today. So,
dang. Happy birthday.
Appreciate
Nikki.
Everything that she was for me and remains to be, even in her memory. So, but to the draft, man, what an exciting time. Lots of twists and turns, but Pittsburgh made a move before the draft that ended up not really anything coming of it.
Not yet. But
boy, did we think it was going to, and it gave them the flexibility to be able to make a move if they wanted to. So Alex Highsmith got his deal restructured. No, this does not mean you make a pay cut. This just means he gets more money in the form of a signing bonus, which allows them to spread that money out over more years and pay for more of it as far as cap hits in later years of the contract. Freed up about $7 million in cap space in doing so, which Pittsburgh then we assumed, the public, we all assumed that this meant Pittsburgh was going to make a trade for someone who had a higher cap than what they would have been able to accommodate otherwise.
Or Justin Simmons.
Which didn't happen.
Yeah.
Or maybe Justin Simmons, you never know.
No, and there have been talks about Justin Simmons going to Philadelphia, which at this point after the draft would be horrible for anyone that plays Philly secondary.
Right? How are you going to complete a pass against those guys right now?
Yeah, not too good. They took they took Cooper from us. Very upset about that.
And they got Quinyon Mitchell before that.
The two top corners. Yeah, not a good time.
Easy to say that's the two most athletic physical corners in this entire draft.
By far.
The Philadelphia Eagles got them both.
By far.
So pretty impressive work there by the Philadelphia Eagles. But let's get right to it, man. It's all about what do you do in the first round. That's what everybody remembers. And so we're going to talk about it. Cody's going to celebrate with his Gatorade there. I've got an Alani energy drink. Just shout us out when you want that sponsorship deal. We're all in.
Yeah, not Gatorade. So, I don't want to sponsor that. No.
No, I'm fine with Gatorade. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's fair. So,
the draft played out in a fashion that was very favorable for Pittsburgh. When they got up in the first round there, all the centers were still available. All the corners were somehow still available. Not a single one had been drafted yet. But only one of the top offensive tackles was still remaining. And when you look at it the way it felt like that, that made the decision very easy for Pittsburgh, in my opinion, especially when most people had Troy Fautanu as the second or third best offensive tackle in this entire class and expected to be gone in the top 10 to 15 picks. Not in one single mock draft I did this entire offseason did he ever become available at pick number 20. He was always gone, every single one of them. I know that's not the gospel by any means, but I don't think Pittsburgh expected him to be there. Real easy decision when you can get that talent out of an offensive tackle who is a really, really athletic guy, too, to boot.
Yep.
Man, what an easy decision. So size-wise, almost 6'4". He was 6'3 and three quarters, right? 317 pounds, 34 and a half inch long arms, which is very good length, a 5.01 40, very fast for how big of an individual he is.
Yep.
29 reps on the bench, which he did at his pro day because he didn't do that at the combine. What to know about this guy? Some people had him slated as a guard, right? They were concerned about the lack of height.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard me say this 100 times. I don't care about the height as much as I do the arm length. His arm length is greater than Joe Alt, the 6'8" offensive tackle who was the first one to go, and greater than Olu Fashanu, the Penn State offensive tackle who also went in front of him. These guys are 34 and 34 and a quarter. He's 34 and a half. So I don't care that he's not quite 6'4". I think that length buys him all the grace that he needs. And plug and play, man. Where do you want him, left or right? Put Broderick on the other side, our offensive tackle woes are behind us. And you got some absolute road graders, man. I don't know, Cody. I couldn't have been much happier with the pick. Obviously, the splash would have been there for me with Cooper DeJean. I would have loved Cooper DeJean. But if you can get an elite offensive tackle, the teams that win Super Bowls typically have a really good offensive line. The teams that make those late runs have a really good offensive line.
Yep. No, I can't agree with you more. And I'm like, don't get me wrong. I love this pick. And this is a guy that grew up loving Pittsburgh, watching Troy Polamalu. He said, like, super excited. And he wanted to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. This is a guy, both of our first two picks, and we'll get to the second one here in a little bit. Both our first two picks have outwardly expressed their love for the Steelers and interest for coming here. So, and that's the other thing is you process the last few years about having some guys in the room that don't want to be here. We're getting guys that want to be here. We're getting guys that want to see Pittsburgh Steelers football. And when Troy was interviewed about, you know, his playing style and everything, he's like, I feel like you have to play mad. I feel like you have to play angry. And I'm excited to see that, because I feel like we haven't found the nasty in quite some time. We've seen glimpses of it here and there. But Troy and our second round draft pick both, I think, are going to come out with it right out the gate. Like, there's no second guessing it. We're going to get that. So I'm super excited for this pick. Again, it's not the splash play, the excitement, the playmaker that you want, but this is going to allow those playmakers that we have on the team now, and one that we picked up early in the third, to have the time to make plays. So it's kind of one of those utilities pick, but you got to roll with it. And it's, again, a guy that shouldn't have been there at 20. So super excited.
No reason for him to be there at 20. And again, if teams are just looking at height, there's positions in the NFL where height is extremely important. You know, wide receiver and tight corner, end. Tight end. These are important positions for height. Even outside linebacker to a degree, you can't be too short, or you just can't even see whether or not the guy's throwing the ball yet.
Yep.
So I get it in positions like that. Off tackle, man, it's more built-in leverage, and that's what this guy is. It's just built-in leverage and power. His hero was Troy Polamalu growing up. That was his favorite football player. Born a Steelers fan, raised a Steelers fan, now a Steelers first round pick. Doesn't get much better. So second round, do you want to leave the second round since I stole the thunder on the first round?
I'll lead because I'm just down the road from this mother trucker. listen, second round, 51st overall, we took West Virginia center Zach Frazier. And it was funny. I was actually talking day after the first round draft pick, or after the first round, I was at work on Friday talking to one of my managers, Mike Evans. Big shout out to you. Thank you for Mike. Everything you do. He is right back there, down the hill a little bit. That's where he lives. Anyways, I was talking to him. He's like, man, he's like, someone you guys, if you guys get the chance to pick up Zach Frazier, West Virginia. I was like, you right. And I wound up messaging him. I saw in the middle of my work, because I was working both Friday and Saturday during the draft, I got the ESPN alert that Pittsburgh selected, you know, Zach Frazier. And I texted him. I was like, Frazier. So super excited about that pickup. I mean, Zach Frazier, he's 6'2 and 5'8, almost 6'3, 313 pounds, 32 and a quarter inch long arms, and put up 30 reps on the bench. That's a big boy. That's a big boy moving big weight.
Putting that work in, man. That don't come by accident.
He's also, if I'm not mistaken, in high school, he was a four-time West Virginia State wrestling champion, which is going to allow him to maneuver his body and control his body while maneuvering and controlling someone else's. So I think that background is just super exciting for us as Steeler fans to watch him be able to come in and literally manhandle anybody on the defensive front. So excited for this pick.
His college record as a wrestler, Cody, 159-2. In one of the two losses, he was up 8-0 and they penalized him and he lost the match for an illegal move.
Dang.
So he was dominating. The guy got too fancy. So legitimately only lost one wrestling match his entire college career.
That's
which
crazy.
Is incredible, because when you come in as a 17, 18-year-old kid, you're going against 22, 23-year-old grown men.
Yep.
And still whooping every single one of them. So just again, a guy with built-in leverage, a guy with physicality. You're not going to see him get bull rushed backwards like we saw with Mason Cole a lot.
Yeah.
Not an elite athlete. He's not the level of athleticism like Troy Fautanu is from our first round pick here, but he's also not a bad athlete. This is one of those dudes that has a very high floor. You hear about high ceiling or high floor. A guy with a high floor means at the worst case scenario, he's going to be a very good player. He may not have the same ceiling as other people due to, say, lack of length, lack of athleticism, whatever. But it's not that he's a bad athlete. He's just a good one. He's not an elite athlete.
Some people just have low floors because of the team that picks them. But that's beside the point. Yeah, we're not going to talk about Cleveland. That's legit
a thing. Yeah. If it's a bad fit for you, then you could have a really low floor because of it. He's got a very high floor because of his fundamentals, his footwork, his hand placement, his physicality, just – his desire and work effort. Like, this is a very high quality dude and very strong.
You want to know an example of a low floor? Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That is what it
is. That one's a real wide spectrum of how that could turn out there. But hopefully for his sake, we won't see him on the field other than in the preseason for a few years here.
Yeah.
And he'll get a chance to develop.
First of the two third round picks, James, I wish that he would wear the number of the pick that he got picked, but I'm pretty sure we have someone on the team with that number now. I can't remember. I'm 90% sure. I'm going to double check. What?
Yes. Cordarrelle Patterson.
That's who it was.
Took 84. Yes.
Let's talk about this guy.
Roman Wilson, somebody we talked about a lot on the show, a wide receiver out of Michigan, very good speed. Let's call it great speed. It is. And if you're in the 4.3s, it's great speed. A 4.39, 40 yard dash. For Roman Wilson at the combine, he's 5'10" and 6'8", so almost 5'11", 185 pounds. His 10 yard split was a 1.52. So he's not just fast, he's quick as well. Real, real explosive dude. A very high percentage of his catches last season ended in touchdowns. It was like one out every four. Go ahead, Cody. It looks like you're sketching me.
This is the guy. This is the guy that we draft to replace Deontay Johnson. You want to know why we draft him to replace Deontay?
Why is that, brother?
He's pretty much as agile. He's pretty much as able to create separation. And on 67 targets last year, James, he only dropped one ball.
Woo!
That's what
Deontay finally came around to that. He only had two last year, but. Point in case. I mean, we had like 2 years in a row with Deontay where he just couldn't catch a dang thing.
Yep.
So this is a drastically better athlete than what we had with Deontay Johnson. So I think he's going to have the opportunity to make an impact right away. I don't know if Pittsburgh's going to be as bold as throwing him right into the starting lineup right away.
No.
He might have to kind of earn it with some veterans being on the roster. I think that's the whole point of bringing in guys like Van Jefferson. And Quez Watkins, you still have Calvin Austin the third on the team. These guys have some experience. They know where to line up. They know how to make sure that they're not making somebody else in an illegal formation. So I think that you have the luxury of starting the season off with some of these other guys. You just don't expect them to make a huge impact necessarily. And Roman Wilson is going to be able to probably ease his way into things as the slot guy, maybe even an additional return guy. I don't know, but the ceiling on a guy like this with this kind of athleticism and his just nose for getting into the end zone. Oh man. Yeah. This is what we were hoping for.
Yep.
A really explosive guy to be that wide receiver opposite of Pickens. Pickens, our jump ball dude with good speed, great size, right?
Yep.
This is our speed guy for the other side.
And this is, listen, for those of you that were upset that we lost the Pickett to Pickens, now we got Russell to Roman or Wilson to Wilson, however you want to look at it. We're making sure that it sounds trendy when we're scoring touchdowns. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But no, I'm very excited for this pickup. I think he's going to come in and be an immediate game changer when he gets on the field. Like you said, I don't expect him to be a day one starter, but he will be a day one playing. Like, he will get play time. That's the one benefit of the wide receiver position. If we come out in three or four wide receiver set, he's going to be out there. Second of our third round draft picks at number 98 overall, another Wilson, James, Peyton Wilson, a linebacker, middle linebacker, out of, where was he out of? I forgot now.
Oh, like South North Dakota Carol- State or something?
Is it North Carolina State? NC State?
Might be North Carolina State.
I think that's what it was.
It was something state.
Yeah, 6'3 and 7'8", almost 6'4", 233 pounds, 30 and a half inch long arms. He ran a 4.43 40, James. Very, very quick. Arguably one of the most athletic defensive players in general in this draft, but definitely one of the most athletic middle linebackers. And again, this is a guy that shouldn't have fallen, except for the fact that he has an extensive and lengthy medical history. James, you kind of got more of a rundown on that. Let's go through that real quick and kind of discuss what that means for his longevity and just his time in Pittsburgh.
You're right. It's NC State on the college there. So this young man has torn an ACL twice, both in the same knee. The other knee does not have an ACL. Hines Ward didn't have an ACL on one of his knees. He was just fine with that. So not necessarily the end of the world there. He's had three shoulder surgeries. Two of them were at the same time. One was after that done by Dr. James Andrews, which is a name that should sound familiar because he does a lot of famous athletes. Also does a lot of work for children's hospitals and stuff. So he must do a lot of like pro bono stuff to counteract the taxes. Smart move on his part.
Yeah, right.
Why not just keep on working and doing what you're good at and counteract your income that way? Yeah. But the third one apparently was to replace some sort of issues with the shoulder structure, which were causing the issues of the first two. Then he had complications from that with infections and stuff. So the man's just been through a lot as far as surgeries already. But the last 2 years of college, he was healthy and put up some very large numbers, had something like 138 tackles last year, some ridiculous number. And when you watch him on tape and you see footage from him playing in college, one thing is very consistent throughout it. It's his see to do. Like, he sees it and he goes and he shoots gaps and he's there like that. And when he hits people, he's going 100 miles an hour. It's somebody whose time speed and film speed matches.
Yep.
So you weren't surprised that he ran a 4.43 40 because he looked 4.43 fast on film. So that was more of a checking of the box than a raising of an eyebrow when you saw the 4.43 40 at the combine. So this guy is, if he can stay healthy, the sky's the limit as far as his abilities at middle linebacker. And just on skill alone was the top middle linebacker in this class. Well, he was only available there because of this injury.
100%. And let's take this even further. He was last year's winner of the Chuck Bednarik Award, which is given to the best defensive player in college football. Now, other names that have won this award, Charles Woodson, Julius Peppers, Ndamukong Suh, Patrick Peterson, Tyrion Mathieu, Monty Te'o, Aaron Donald, Tyler Matakevich, that's unfortunate. Minka Fitzpatrick, Josh Allen, Chase Young, Zaven Collins, Jordan Davis from 2 years ago, Will Anderson Jr. last year. Six of those guys were first round draft picks, and we got this guy in the third. Like, let's go. Like, that's huge.
And Tyrone Mathieu, that's Honey Badger. Honey Badger don't care.
No, Honey Badger don't care. Honey Badger won that award twice, if I'm not mistaken.
Did he really?
No.
He was impressive in college.
No, he won in 2011. My bad.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, so quite the list, quite the resume of people. And it looks like it translates to really good pro careers 9 times out of 10.
So, yeah, there were a bunch of the names I didn't list just because they didn't matter. But still, that was a bunch of good names.
Yeah, a very impressive list of people there. And again, I think this is a good situation for the young man. Because he's going to get a chance to start off with special teams. And there's a couple guys in front of him on the roster. He'll get a chance to make some special plays. He'll get a chance to be a special player.
Yeah.
And we'll see where it goes for him. But you don't have to rush him out on the field because we did get good play from Cole Holcomb when Cole was playing last year before his injury. So if Cole's healthy, okay, you let Cole play with Patrick Queen, good to go. And then Elandon Roberts, we got some nice play out of Elandon late in the season as well. So there's no reason to think that Elandon isn't going to be still at least capable of being out there. But in those past situations where elite size and athleticism benefit you, I wouldn't be surprised if he's playing as that second nickel middle linebacker pretty early in the season, because that kind of athleticism is tough to keep on the sidelines.
Yep, drastically. Let's talk about this fourth round draft pick at 119, James. Drafted a guy by the name of Mason McCormick, a guard.
South Dakota State.
It's not listed. We figured it out. 6'4", 309 or 307 pounds? 309 pounds.
I think it's 309, but if it's 7, it's fine.
Whatever. Close enough. 32 7/8.
He's 33.
He's almost 33 inch long arms. He had 32 reps on the bench, James.
Woo! These guys are getting stronger as we keep going in the draft.
And their arms are still longer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, so that's good size.
It's depth.
Yeah.
He's not starting day one, but.
It's depth for right now.
True. This next year, we're not going to bring back somebody.
Yeah, this isn't James Daniels' contract is up at the end of this upcoming season. I fully expect Pittsburgh to extend him. From what I understand, they're going to be about $90 million under the cap next year as of right now without doing any extensions or anything. We expect Pat Freiermuth to get a contract. We expect Najee Harris to get a contract. Outside of that, James Daniels is the next biggest name. So we would expect them to be able to put up the money to afford him. I don't think it'll cost you more than 10 to 15 mil a year, and you're going to have plenty of room in that space. But if you don't, for some reason, if something happens, you've got your insurance policy. In worst case scenario, you're looking at the other side, Isaac Seumalo, and Isaac's already 30 years old. He's got 2 years left on his deal. He can be the eventual long-term replacement for Seumalo. So you got good athleticism, fantastic strength, good size, smaller school kid, which is probably why he was still there.
Lump of clay.
He's got the claw.
Lump of clay. He's just a lump of clay.
You're getting the toy animal with the claw, it looks like there, Cody.
Always. Always win those machines. I mean, listen, this is what it felt like we were doing. We were just, the con artist was using the freaking claw and just picking up some crazy people. No, Mason McCormick has a chance of earning his spot on this team very easily, because he can come in and if he plays even up to par with one of these guys, you can justify not bringing them back and saving that money. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that's what they would do if he played as well. There's still a chance you extend James Daniels or Isaac Seumalo, depending on age and everything else and his play style. But Mason McCormick has the chance to earn a spot on that offensive line in a year or two. So excited for that. James, do you want to move on to the sixth round guy? First of two sixth.
Yeah, and I think who should be most excited about picks like Mason McCormick is Justin Fields.
Oh, 100%.
That's who's going to be blocking for you in the preseason, and you're going to have an opportunity to have time to throw the ball with talented second-string offensive linemen. That is so important for these guys to be able to have time in the preseason. We've got a good depth chart at the top end for wide receivers for Justin to throw to.
Yep.
Now he's going to have some good depth in that offensive line room as well when you start talking about Mason McCormick and Nate Herbig and Spencer Anderson and Dylan Cook. Yep. You almost have a second starting five, a whole line, a second line that is formidable enough that you're not worried about any of them if they have to start at any point in time. So I'm happy about how that could play out for getting a really good look at second team running backs and tight ends and wide receivers and quarterbacks and all of that. That plays out a lot better when you got good depth on the offensive line. Next pick, as Cody was leading us into here, would be a defensive end by the name of Logan Lee, who was our very own Knicks pre-draft projection there. He had him in the sixth round as well. Somebody we were keeping an eye on based off of size, right? 6'5" 3/8", 281 pounds, 32 1/4 inch long arms. You would hope for a little bit better length than that, but he is a sixth round pick. 5.05 on his 40-yard dash with 25 reps on the bench. So good strength for the size. I think if he was a little heavier, probably get a few more reps.
Yep.
But this is going to be a developmental backup dude to compete with DeMarvin Leal, to compete with Isaiah Loudermilk, to put a little pressure on these guys at the back end of the roster. I don't think this changes anything at the top end of the defensive line roster at all.
Not this year.
Yeah, he's not taking Larry Ogunjobi's job. He's not playing nose tackle. That doesn't affect any of that stuff in one bit. But it might change how the 53 shapes. You might see a surprise with the DeMarvin Leal in the team because of this guy, if he looks good enough.
Yep.
So exciting from a size, athleticism, familiar with playing in the 3-4 and familiar with looking good in the black and gold as he's an Iowa boy.
Yep. That's what we're excited about. Pick one, and hopefully, listen, Logan Lee later down the line when he becomes a starter in 4 years and Cooper DeJean's contract's up in Philly and he says, "Hey, brother, what's up, brother? You want to come to Pittsburgh and play with me?" Because they play, you know, I'm just being weird at this point.
You're a special player. We got special plays.
Together we can make special something. But no, Logan Lee was a great pick in my mind, and I enjoy the fact that I think that he has a chance of becoming something in the future. At pick 198, our last pick of the draft and our last pick in the sixth round, we went cornerback. It felt like it took way too long to do this.
Yeah, it did.
But I will say that I'm impressed with the pick overall. Ryan Watts, 6'2 and 7'8, almost 6'3, 34 and a half inch long arms. The dude's a monster. Ran a 4.53, which isn't the fastest 40, but he's not slow. And his height and arm length will kind of make up for that. And also did a 40.5 on his vertical jump. So, again, this is a guy who spent the past two seasons at Texas after playing at Ohio State for his first two seasons. But, again, I view this guy very much as a lump of clay kind of guy that come in. He's not going to play first year, well, at least not start by any means. Maybe there's a chance he develops into a nickel. Maybe there's a chance. I think they'd just keep him on the outside. I don't know why you'd put someone that tall in the nickel position, but you never know what might happen.
Yeah, you don't typically see guys that size with the correct amount of agility to be able to handle the quick, jittery guys that are typically slot receivers. But someone that size could be a real nice matchup for trying to cover a tight end if you're going in like a dime set and the opposing team only has three wide receivers and a corner needs to match up with a tight end, a guy that's 6'3", 210 pounds, that's right about what you're looking for, right? It's a nice size. It seems to be the new mold of what Pittsburgh's looking for. Corey Trice, very similar size to this last year. Joey Porter Jr. was a little bit lighter, but very similar size otherwise. So he goes into the room and immediately helps with that depth. They did list him as a defensive back also. Apparently he has a little bit of history at safety, kind of like Corey Trice did coming out. So you never know when they might try to transition him or Corey Trice into safety, just to see if they're able to play that as well, just to get him on the field and get a little bit better versatility out of some of these guys. So going to be a real big competition as of right now between the new pick, Ryan Watts, Corey Trice, and Darius Rush to be that number 3/4 corner, right? Past that, I don't see like a Luke Barku or anyone like that really pushing these guys, but there still isn't a nickel corner on the roster quite yet.
I mean,
or is there?
There's another name we can talk about from the undrafted side of free agents.
That's where we're going right now.
A cornerback from the great. It's okay. It's okay so far. We'll see. The state of West Virginia, and he went to West Virginia University. Beanie Bishop. Beanie Baby, Beanie Bishop, BB, whatever you want to call him. 5'9 and 1/8, if I'm not mistaken. 180 pounds. Ran a 4.39 40, James, with a 1.5 split, 10-yard split. He's a quick man. Little guy. I mean, that's your ideal. I mean, that's your nickel right there. Laid out on a platter as an undrafted free agent.
Realistically, it was probably a very easy decision for him to sign with Pittsburgh, because being a guy from West Virginia, he's probably very familiar with the Pittsburgh roster. Yeah. Whether he's a fan of Pittsburgh or not, I'm sure he is familiar with the roster. I'm sure he was aware that they needed a nickel corner and didn't address it in the draft. and don't really have one on the roster. And if that's something in his bag, in his repertoire, which I'm almost guaranteeing that it is because of his size,
yep.
I can't imagine he didn't play at least some nickel corner at West Virginia. This is definitely something that he would have a chance of making this team. So definitely should be an early favorite for us through the process to make it through camp and possibly even squeak his way onto the 53-man roster. There's not too many times that I say that about an undrafted guy the day after the final day of the draft, but I feel like this is the kind of guy that has a strong resume, extreme athleticism, and really a lot of what you're looking for in a slot corner. Obviously, he wasn't thought of high enough by any team to draft him, but Pittsburgh only has five guys they signed as undrafted free agents afterwards, and he's one of them. So they definitely thought very highly of him if they only had five spots left to fill. Obviously, rookie minicamp is right around the corner. They're going to have a crap load of tryout guys that they bring in for that. It's usually like 25 to 30 of them. So you're going to hear a lot more next week on the show to fill you in on what happened during that. And maybe additional information on some of these picks and undrafted guys. Like, say, for example, the next guy running back, Daywon Edwards out of Georgia. I'm sure he got some playing time if he was at Georgia, so we'll get some statistics for him and tell you a little bit more about him. The big one probably of this whole guy is Plumlee, the quarterback out of Central Florida. They felt highly enough about this young man to give him a $35,000 signing bonus, which I know doesn't sound like a lot in the scheme of NFL money, but for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they'd never given an undrafted guy more than $25,000 before. So this is actually a really big deal for Pittsburgh. These are three-year deals, so it's spread the money spread out over 3 years. But they must have really liked him. Not a big kid. He's 5'11 and 6'8", 203 pounds. Ran a 4'5", 4'40", so he's pretty athletic for a smaller quarterback, 36 and a half inch vert, 10 foot four on the broad jump. So a pretty athletic kid for a quarterback, just not real big. But we might have a legit quarterback competition now for that number three quarterback, which I'm here for, you know. I'm all here for that.
Yeah, those back end of the guys, you never want them to have it easy in the offseason or in training camp. You want them to be fighting for that position. Obviously, there's positions that you kind of need to figure out who's going to start. I think processing through that on as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan and as, you know, the analyst that we are, I'm trying to think the big positions where you're looking for potential starters still is wide receiver, cornerback, and maybe safety. Maybe the safety next to Minka.
Or
you
think it's going to be Deshaun Elliott?
I mean, that's fair. And we didn't bring one in the draft to kind of rival that. Those three positions really that are going to be fighting for that. You don't, in any of those positions, you don't want the guys on the back of the roster to feel comfortable. You don't want that. If they're comfortable, if they think they have the spot, I'm not saying that they don't have a second level to get to or that they're not fighting for a starting job in the NFL one day, but you want them to be fighting for their job to get the best out of them. And so I'm happy that we brought in another quarterback to kind of fight for that number three spot moving forward. James, then went and got two linebackers.
One outside, one inside. First one, Julius Weishoff out of Charlotte. 6'6", 257 pounds, 4'8", 240. And he was born in Germany. So looks as though he hasn't played a lot of football in America quite yet because the statistics, it was like 29 career tackles. So I don't think he's really played a lot in the States. So he must have played a little bit while he was over there. And then linebacker Jacoby Windman out of Michigan State, rounding out the roster. I believe Jacoby to be a middle linebacker, although I didn't see anything specific on him as just a guess.
It's a safe guess.
Yeah. So that's our five guys that were brought in. And it looks like there's a little bit of intrigue and a couple guys that might make a little splash and definitely should be people that we keep an eye on through the preseason and the offseason process. So I couldn't be much happier with the draft class. Obviously, I wanted a corner higher, but the talent that we got, man, it's tough to argue with it, especially with you look at all these draft analysts from all these different areas, and almost everybody gave us an A or an A plus.
Yep.
I think there was like one major outlet that gave us a B plus, and that's the worst grade that anyone has given the Steelers draft class. PFF likes our draft class, which they don't typically like anything Pittsburgh does. So that's saying something coming out of them. But pretty promising in championship teams, man. They build through the trenches, and that's what Pittsburgh spent a lot of focus on these last 2 years, is getting those trenches right. Yep. So I won't be surprised if next year maybe we start seeing that defensive line as a high priority. It may be back into the secondary as a high priority, because the offensive line, I don't know what positions are left to draft highly now, man.
Yeah. I mean, you got tackles 2 years in a row and they haven't drafted a tackle in the first round in, I can't even remember how long.
Jermaine Stevens was the last one.
And what year, was Jermaine, that?
He was in the 90s, I believe.
Yeah. It's been a while.
yeah.
So we would love,
wasn't that good.
No, it's not a name I remembered. But we would love to hear back from you guys, what you guys thought about the draft. Let us know where you thought we missed. I mean, even Mike Sandra still said he thought Pittsburgh was going to pick him up, but then he got picked up literally like two picks before we went.
Yeah, dude, that was heartbreaking for me when Chris Jenkins, Mike Sandra. Oh, those are two of my crushes.
Yeah, I went back to back.
I'll take Zach Frazier.
Yep, fair enough. But again, we can't thank you guys enough for watching and listening. Again, be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.